This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The trial of Karen Reed continues on, 1 week down and lots of action in that courtroom. Opinions very much divided, as to be expected. Did Karen Reed do this? Was she aware if she did it? Was she framed? Is this a cover-up, some sort of conspiracy that a bunch of officers came up with in a quick hurry and then still ran with it for years? I mean, there's a lot of questions here. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Yeah, there's a lot here. I'm not even sure where to start. Let's start with some of the improprieties that are being pointed out from the law enforcement on this, because if you're trying to not have a conspiracy type thought your way, you don't want to be doing a lot of shady things, because it just kind of makes people think maybe there is something more to a conspiracy here. And searching Karen Reed's phone for nude pictures, not exactly, you know, on the up and up.
Nope. You know, and we've been saying this from the beginning on this case, Tony, you know, anytime you have someone that has lost their life and you're accusing someone of it and you have a suspect in custody, one of the worst things you can do, and I know, I don't know how you get around it. I mean, there are ways around it about who you assign as lead investigation agency on this, mm-hmm. but you cannot have the lead investigation agency investigate one of their own suspicious deaths.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when it involves this thing, because there's just this look of impropriety. Whether it's true, imagined, or not, it doesn't even matter, because one of the things that allows us to function as a society, as a country, as a community, is faith in our organizations, institutions, and structures. Faith that we can trust them to uphold policies, procedures, and law and the rule of law. And when you lose that faith that people can do that, and you lose the trust, and trust is based upon really simple things, repeated behaviors over time that are predictable, that are measurable, and you do so with open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. Vulnerability being the one that you say when you make a mistake, you own it and mm-hmm. you fix it, move on. That's what we do. But at open, honest communication, transparency is really a bedrock to keep instilling trust. And when you have a look of impropriety, or a look that we're not being transparent, or there's some subterfuge going on, or some wrongdoing, because people make mistakes, people do dumb things, but then you own it and you fix it, and you move that away, and then you move forward. And they're not doing any of those things in that department right now, which is eroding any case I think they have.
Why did they not assign another agency or ask another department to come in and investigate this? Was it just because this all happened so quick and they didn't even necessarily think it was something that was going to need an investigation, because she was standing out there saying, I did it, and they were treating it more as almost like a hit and run type situation? I mean, obviously that was the events of that moment in time, but you know, as it continued on, why didn't anybody raise their hand and say, we shouldn't be touching this if we don't want to look bad?
In the moment when we face things, it's very hard to look a mile down the road and see what the optic will be.
Sure.
And I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy. Mm-hmm. I'm very rarely do people conspire immediately after an event to create a narrative to cover something up.
Mm-hmm.
I think, just like you said, and as we've said on past episodes, but this and a few other cases, you have a lot of alcohol involved, you have a lot of splotchy memories involved, and then you have a tragic incident. And the first response is, let's just investigate this. It's tragic, it's painful, let's move on. And I think that was the initial impulse. But then when you state what you're going to do, as human beings, as a species, we have a very, very hard time with that vulnerability part where we say, we did this wrong, we need to reset and redo.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start down a road that you've vocalized what you believe the truth is, and you vocalize the way we're going to move forward, people, organizations, institutions have a very, very difficult time backtracking from that. We do not, because that actually deflates our own sense of self as an organization, institution, individuals. And so that's why I think this kind of went down a railroad track of a wrong path, not by design from the initial impact, I think, but it's obviously starting, it's going off the rails from my optic, and mm-hmm. I don't think they know how to bring it back.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.